Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to another special episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, that's Dan Kinnis. Dan, how are you doing today? How are you holding up?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little tired today. We've had a couple of meeting evenings this week, and then Wednesdays we have a morning men's Bible study. So this morning it took a little more energy to get out of bed, but doing okay otherwise. So
yeah, I was feeling that too. We're recording on Wednesday instead, and well, if you live around here, you'll know that Wednesday and Tuesday were very different days.
Yeah.
And so with all the extra gray and the cold, it was really hard to get out of bed this morning. I feel you.
Yeah, we got a little taste of spring, and then it's the
pull back. And once you get that taste of spring, then just to be confronted with the reality of winter is just the worst thing. Mm-hmm. It's so hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll make it through. We'll pray our way through. That's what we'll do.
That's right.
Because, you know, this is our prayer series.
Mm-hmm.
So to jump into that, Dan, can you just refresh our memory? What did we talk about on Sunday?
So our text was Matthew 6, 9 to 13, which is the Lord's Prayer. And as we were kind of turning to the back half of our series on prayer, just really this kind of 4 weeks, the month of February largely, we're getting into more like, well, how do we pray? How do we practice this? You know, what can guide us in that practice? What better place to go than the Lord's Prayer? And so just thinking about how these are words to pray, of course, that Jesus gives to us, but also it is, we use the image that Tim Keller uses in his book, that this is to be kind of a stamp that's imprinting all of our prayer life. And so whether it was talking about, this is meant to be a habit, or it's meant to be this kind of well-rounded speaking to every area of our lives, we talked about a couple other things too. Just having that imprint of the Lord's Prayer on it. And so just trying to, thinking about how can we be praying? What are some good habits here? How do we build that habit? And really next week too, we'll be kind of reinforcing some similar things or maybe getting specific on some other things. Yeah, because we can talk all about the theology and, of course, the why, and good place to start, as we said, why do we pray? But now let's think about, well, how do we do this? And what might that look like for Austin, myself, for you out there listening, for us as families and congregations to really incorporate prayer into our lives in good fashion, too, of course. That was kind of where we were. I know I talked to a few people afterwards, I think, because it's the Lord's Prayer, we are familiar with those words and maybe has our attention even a little more because these are sacred words to us. Not that other, of course, parts of Scripture aren't, but just the familiarity and the usage we've had over the years. We know this is extra special in a way. There's a gift that Jesus has given to us. And so, yeah, I think that's good. We some good interaction and some good reflection on our lives of prayer.
Yeah, well, and I did appreciate that you kind of highlighted, like, this is something that we talk about, it's so central to how we live our lives that sometimes we kind of forget how important and profound it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear it. I mean, I can't begin to count the number of times I've prayed this prayer, heard this prayer, talked about this prayer. So much so that, it kind of just, you forget how critical it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited for this discussion. And I kind of want to go back to that first point we were talking about, with the developing the habit of prayer, how this is something that should be stamped on everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked a little bit in the past about, like, okay, how do we start this if we haven't really been praying much at all?
Right.
But I want to take us a step further and ask you how we can improve our prayer habits, take them to the next level. If we've already got like a baseline, like I am praying every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do have, even if you don't have time set aside, like you are in the habit of regularly praying, how do you take it to the next level from there?
Mm-hmm. The beauty of it is there's no like set way you have to do that, right? And if you study, you know, the history of even the church, you'll see just different developments, different ways. They're often quite similar. You go to kind of more of the medieval times, right, Middle Ages and that, and you'll see like almost an impossible schedule, right? I mean, and in fact, they, I think, realized that and kind of pulled it back a little bit. But there's often been that daily morning-evening rhythm. I think one thing, though, you can do, if you're regular in prayer, is to tie in some scripture reading with that. When you look at historically and even in modern times, a lot of that was, hey, read two chapters and then have time of prayer in the morning, and then read two chapters in the evening with your family and have another time of prayer. And so that's another way. And Martin Luther, you know, Reformed theologian, that was some of his practice. I'd start out reading scripture and then that led into prayer. So that's one thing that can really help deepen our time and focus our prayers. You know, whatever is before us that day can help guide what we are going to then pray about, or maybe speak into what we already had in mind to be praying about. You know, that's one, I think, deepening practice. I would point out we've been connecting with Pastor Tim Keller's book on prayer, and there's kind of five sections to it. Well, we had a four-part series. The one part we aren't connecting with is deepening prayer, which probably would be a good chunk for this. He talks about encountering God. And so that would be a good section if you had gotten the book or were interested. It's kind of the fourth section of the book, and that would kind of get into some of this too. But yeah, so whether it's, you know, connecting with Scripture, maybe it's, you know, we get in these rhythms of prayer. As what I mean by that is, I know myself, I tend to go to the same language, even the same kind of form most of the time. And there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe to grow in this, we do need to think about how we're going about that. Maybe trying some different forms or ways or different words. Maybe it's starting from Scripture. Maybe it's one of these, you know, kind of traditional prayers of the church. Or, you know, maybe it's asking someone else, you know, how do you pray? And then just trying something different. Because that, just like exercise, you know, can grow our muscles, right? I gotta need to do something a little different. I always do sit-ups this way. Well, now I need to try this core exercise. And there's so many resources out there to do this. So that would be another way to kind of grow in our prayer life.
Yeah, well, and I love that workout analogy because that's something I used to do a fair amount, and I've gotten back into over the years is getting back in the gym. And when I first started, like, I had to be walked. I had a good friend of mine who she basically taught me how to work out.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, these are some very basic things. Here's what we're going to do. And she walked me through that. And then eventually got to the point where I'm like, okay, now I need more, and I can start learning more from her, from other people. And I think the exact same way with our prayer life. Like, we need to be learning from other people. Again, like, to harp on the unspoken theme of this podcast, but, like, this is a communal thing.
Yeah.
Like, we need to do this in community. So that's a really good way of being like, yeah, let's go and see what we can learn from other people.
Yeah. And I think that's part of this growth, too, is not just praying. It's good to have the individual prayer time, but we said one of the points this past week was prayer's meant to be a community activity. And I grow just like anything else. To use the example we're using, if I'm in the gym and I'm, you know, working out, whatever, and I see someone doing, like, what's that exercise? You know, what? Oh, man, look at this person, looks pretty healthy. That muscle, you know, like, maybe I should try that one. And in prayer, too, you just hear ways sometimes people are conversing with the Lord in prayer and expressing. And it's a way for me to learn to say, oh, wow, I haven't thought about that communication. Or I love the way they tied in with Scripture as they prayed. Or whatever, right? Or, oh, they brought in confession. I have been neglecting that. I mean, we can learn from each other and grow together in a life of prayer, too. So that might be a way, whether it's with family, with a dear friend, or in a church ministry kind of setting, to add in times of collective prayer, too.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I just want to add on to the very end of this part of our discussion is, one of the blessings that the CRC has is that we are already not afraid to use prayers that have been written out by other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that different denominations struggle with a lot more. I know I have a lot of friends who have struggled in the past with, like, man, this, you know, this prayer doesn't feel as sincere because someone else wrote it or whatnot. Fortunately, that's something we struggle with less here in the CRC. But I do want to encourage everyone who's listening to, sometimes let's venture out and see what people outside of our tradition have written and how they pray.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have benefited greatly by learning how the Anglican and the Catholic churches pray. Now, obviously, I don't pray in the exact same way as they do, but, like, there is stuff that we can learn from our brothers and sisters in Christ who do things in very different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's so many good even kind of guideposts for prayer. I mean, it's pretty well known, obviously, the Book of Common Prayer. Now, it's almost 500 years old now. But there's still a richness of resource there to go to, whether it's just the rhythm or the actual prayers that are contained within it. Again, there's been movements all throughout, you know, even in the last century, the whole quiet time movement. I mean, there's actual prayers in there and scriptures you can use. And like you said, there's all kinds of forms. I mean, as George Whitefield had these kind of four principles, and I think Keller references that in his book about, I'm probably not going to remember the exact four, but it, give me a single eye, give me a rightfully zealous heart, You know, there's these four things, and you can kind of pray off that. And Keller even writes some examples of how we can pray into that. Humility was another one, right? So, you know, there's all kind. And just because it's someone else's words, and like Luther used the Lord's Prayer too, that can also just give us a start. And maybe now I'm praying, and now there are other things the Spirit's bringing to my attention, and I'm praying those things, and it is very personal. So sometimes we just need to get started on a prayer, and we can excuse ourselves by saying, well, I don't know, or I can't use these. Somebody else already prayed that. It can be, yeah, an excuse to not be in prayer.
Yeah. Moving on a little bit, I want to talk about, in some ways, decentering ourselves in prayer.
Mm.
So we talked a bit during the service about how, you know, prayer is supposed to be God-centered instead of us-centered. And you acknowledge, like, it's really easy for us to kind of put our name at the center of that stamp. Another analogy I thought of for some of this was actually based off of our experience working through the immigration system, working with a lot of government papers. You know, when you got a government paper, it was on the government letterhead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was United States Customs and Immigration Services right there. That's how you know what you're dealing with. And a lot of the times with our prayer, we can be tempted to, you know, yeah, it's, you know, it's God's letterhead here, but it's signed by us.
Mm-hmm.
Like
my watermark's behind it.
My watermark's by, exactly. And so if our prayers have been more focused on us, our needs, our desires, how do we practically start shifting that over? And then to follow up with that, how do we start shifting over simply because that's what we're told we're supposed to do versus like actually wanting to pray for God's will to be done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question because, I acknowledge for myself, too. It's very easy to get focused on myself and, you know, my agenda and all that in prayer. One of the, I think, well, the theological answer, as it were, but also the practical answer is to be including prayers of praise and awe of God. Because, first off, to start there puts us in the right frame of mind about who's, you know, number one, who this is all about, who allows us to do this, but it also shapes, to kind of answer the second part of your question, it shapes my heart to see, oh, look at who God is. There's no one like him. And just to, you know, being adoring his qualities and what he's done. And then that, of course, flows into maybe confession, seeing like, oh, I'm not, but also reinforces why I can be asking him whatever it is on my heart that I need to ask for or for someone else, because this is the great and awesome God, and he is inclined to hear the prayers of his children. And even if I'm a bit off, I know that he's going to give me what would be the right thing if I knew better, so to speak, right? So that, and this will come up. We're going to talk about this a little bit this coming week with Philippians 4 and getting into this, you know, practice of prayer and regular rhythm. But that adoration part is so important, and it's often been listed as, hey, this is why it comes first, even in that acronym, ACTS, the adoration, because it's so formative, it's so shaping. It fights off that desire to put myself on the pedestal because I'm starting with God, and when I'm truly gazing upon his presence, that awe and that beauty and just as who he is puts me in my proper place. And again, it's not this kind of wallowing in self-pity or anything like that. It's just
acknowledging where the gap is.
Yeah, here's God and here's where I am. So that, I think, is a big practical and just, you know, rightly, even by the order of the Lord's Prayer, as we said, way to go helping myself not be so self-centered in prayer. Another part of that might just be, even in my supplication life, to see what that is boiling down to. If it's just for me, if I'm never praying for Austin or, you know, my enemies or the people of the church, it's always me, me, me. That's
And I think
too.
That one especially, my enemies or the people who we disagree with or dislike, if we're not praying for them and not just praying that they see the right way and come about, but like that they truly flourish and grow and learn, that can really be a way to indicate that, oh, we're not really doing this right.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of, too, thinking even, you know, Keller has a whole section about the supplication portion. We'll probably touch on some of that this week, too. But just thinking about, you know, how do we offer those petitions? And some of that is to, we should have some theological reasoning of why we're asking for something instead of just like, oh, go down my list here. And like, no, why, God, would it be good for you to protect this person or to provide this healing? Or why would I want this thing for an enemy, perhaps. Why should they change their point of view? Not just because, well, I think I know I'm right and they're not. No, well, perhaps, you know, as we're thinking about world leaders, because we see that this peace that might come about would be better, or economic conditions, or whatever it might be. So some of that reasoning behind it is important to think about, not just thinking, again, that can check the whole, like, well, of course, God, why wouldn't you do this? I'm so wise. I know best. But to really work that out, to wrestle with him. Because that part of prayer is supposed to be a wrestling. And sometimes, and there's expression to, you know, complain in that too and struggle with what God's doing. But that can be a helpful thing to see, oh, I'm just praying for Dan. You know, help me have good balance in my, and these are all good prayers, by the way, this is fine, but if it's all that, like, help me with a good balance in my life, help me to be, you know, this, that, and the other, just me, it kind of sounds like Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel when he just says I a lot. You know, it's like, well, it seems like he's having a change of heart, but there's a lot of I's and me's in this sentence still, and that's a check for us as well, that even in my supplication, I should be praying for the people around me, the neighbors I'm coming into contact with, you know, like you said, the enemy as well, which really shows the Spirit's work in our hearts. So,
yeah. And then to move on to one more question here for you, and I know we've kind of talked about this before, but I think it's always worth revisiting because it's a very real thing. What do we do when we don't know what to pray or how to even start? So I myself have had many times recently where I'm like, I don't even know where to begin praying. Mm-hmm. So much stuff is going on. I've had a lot of friends come up to me and be like, I'm so overwhelmed. There's so much going on. Mm-hmm. I need prayer. And it's awesome. I'm happy to do that. But when we are in these situations where things are just going crazy, mm-hmm. and you can't, you know, separate one thing from another thing, when we don't even really know where to start with prayer, what do we do? How can we do that well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for starters, there's nothing wrong with having some silence at the outset of prayer, right?
I'm so glad you said that because that's so important. Yes.
I mean, yeah, we're meant to use words in prayer. God speaks to us, but there's nothing wrong with just saying, I'm just going to start in silence and just be before the Lord. And he's looking upon our heart, and this is what we talked about, some of that wonderful tension between God's sovereignty and, you know, in prayer, and he knows everything, and yet he calls us to prayer, and, you know, he allows some space for us to impact things with our prayers. And so this part of it's comforting to know that as he's looking at me, and I don't know what to say, he knows what's stirring in my heart, he knows what's going on in my life. So if nothing else, just, you know, come before him that way. And there's the promise, of course, of Romans as well, that even when we don't have words, the Spirit is interceding for us with groans that words cannot express. And so I think that's a good place to start. As we said, too, there's often, you can use Scripture as well. The Psalms pretty much have every expression in there, even if it's not exactly one-to-one with maybe a situation you're going through. There's all these laments, some of them quite pointed. And, you know, just... And, of course, praises and everything else, thanksgivings. And so that's a place where you can go to. And maybe there's some that have been written on your heart pretty well that you can go to, and you just want to start there. Again, we talked about the Lord's Prayer, something that often we've memorized from a young age, a place we can go to, and we know we're not off when we're praying that. Right? Jesus gave us these words. So there's just some of those places to start. At times as well. Yeah, and sometimes just the honesty of feeling. We sometimes don't think that's a prayer. We talk about this whole form, the, you know, the Acts prayer and having all that. Well, sometimes that's a good guide overall. And to think like, yeah, we should be starting with praise, as we said before. But sometimes if you're really in a throes of a situation, sometimes it's just say, God help me. I'm really hurting. Where are you? I mean, just some of these basic kind of throwing up of our feelings, as it were. There's nothing wrong with that, especially that might be all we can kind of say. And sometimes these things happen in a moment, and we're not going to sit down and offer a 25-minute prayer. It's just that cry out to God.
Well, and one of the beautiful things about those sorts of prayers is that often that's sometimes where, like, I might not realize how hurt or angry or frustrated mm-hmm. I am. And I say, God, I'm just angry. And I, in that moment, realize how angry I was. And like, I'm like, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, even though I'm like, okay, now that I've actually vocalized this, I can recognize this. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's something that I don't even say out loud, whether literally or metaphorically out loud to Jesus, mm-hmm. like even just naming it has some crazy power there.
Listen, we recognize on a human level how good it can be just to kind of talk with someone about, you know, things we're going through, expressions, just to, we say, get it off our chest. And I know in pastoral counseling situations, so often I'm thinking, boy, you know, how can I help this person? And they're kind of expressing issues that are going on, and they've, you know, dealt with this disease, or they have this. And of course, I can't fix some of those things, but they'll often express, oh, I feel better just talking about it with someone. And sometimes even it'll be pointed, but I mean, like, there's something to that, even on a human level, let alone to come before God. And sometimes just to know we can be honest and safe and expressing these things to Him, and that can begin the healing for us, or begin the opening of our eyes to see maybe what God's doing and how we can come out of it, rather than just keep holding it, keep mm-hmm. holding it, and the pain's growing up. So even if it is just this kind of quick, you know, almost word vomit, right, as it were, just expressing our feelings of, you know, Lord, again, that's the basic form of prayer, Lord, help. Lord, yeah. save. I mean, that's just an expression of faith, really, to say that, right? So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to be this elaborate and well-worded, and sometimes we get intimidated, and unfortunately, people like myself can contribute to that as we're trying to craft prayers for public use, but a lot of times prayers, it's down and dirty. I mean, you look at the Psalms, and I know there's some crafting done to that, but it's real stuff. It's in the mess of human life, and it doesn't have to be poetic. You don't have to start every line with the next letter of the alphabet. I mean, just bring it up to God, right? Mm-hmm. And whether that starts with silence or another way.
Well, and I think even connecting this question with our earlier question, like starting with, you know, God, you are so powerful.
Mm.
Like when we're in these moments where I'm like the moments where I'm so overwhelmed, sometimes I need to be reminded that God is powerful, that He is in control. He has done all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think back to the prayers in Job that are happening. And Job is, I mean, most of y'all who are listening to this probably are familiar with that story. Like, he is going through stuff that we cannot even begin to fathom. Mm. And yet so much of the start of his prayers is, God, you have done this. You raised the mountains up. You have, like, you've done all of this stuff. And that perspective, I think, starting with that perspective can really help when we don't have words, when we are too hurt or mm-hmm. angry, to ask well or to ask humbly, or just acknowledging God in His position can really go a long way in moving us towards a place where we can then start mm-hmm. interacting well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why so many of the psalms of like lament or complaint, they do have these kind of sudden, like, you know, expressions of praise that pop up in the middle of them. I think the psalmist trying to right themselves, you know, they're, where are you, God? What are you doing? You've forsaken your people, but blessed be your name, you know, and we trust in you. And not every psalm has that. That's a complaint one, but a lot of them do, because there is this kind of undergirding that, you know, the Lord is here. We remember who you are. We're not quite sure where you are right now, but we know you're here. And so I think that is a comfort, as we talked about, when it comes to prayer as well, that knowing this isn't just dependent on me saying the right words.
It's not the magic formula.
No.
You know, and that is, you know, at some points that does get into a form of modern mysticism. If I say the right words, then God will reward me for, like, that's casting a spell by another name. Like, right. We're not trying to get the right formula of words. This is about the relationship.
Yeah. And that tension we've talked about of God's knowledge and sovereignty versus kind of how does prayer work with that. That's the beauty of the balance, right? Because if it was just really up to me praying, that's terrifying. I'm probably going to get it wrong, and then what? So we know God's got this control. That's a comfort. But yet He has shown us clearly that He allows some space for our prayers to work in this world. And so it's worthwhile to come to Him and have that relationship and wrestle with Him in these ways and to be honest and open and because God's at work in that. And so I think we'd love to have everything so clear, and so, but the tension actually is a great comfort in that regard too. So,
yeah. I know we already talked about this a little bit, but what are we going to be discussing and learning next Sunday?
So, yeah, bringing this series to a conclusion, we're going to be for Scripture in Philippians 4, 4 to 7, which especially verses 6 and 7, talking about don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, bring your requests to God. And the peace that results from that. Yeah, that expression there not only points to why it's so good to pray, but also points to the different forms. There's different words for prayer and different ways we can pray. And so we'll explore again some of the practical ways, like, yeah, okay, the acronym. Well, how do we get into some of, what are some ways we can do those specific types of prayer? And as we kind of referred to here, how do we get into some of these good habits? What are maybe tools we can use? And again, it might look different for each of us, just like, hey, we have different bodies, we're different ages. We probably won't have the exact same workout routine. We're all different people too. What is going to work for us in prayer life, right? To really get us in this good habit. So maybe we'll share some ideas. We're going to have some practical things. Austin has put together a video that will come out with our Friday email, so you can watch for that with some practical thoughts. We'll also have kind of a list of some ways, both in the church community here and just individually, we can be practicing prayer. That will come out this Friday with that email as well. So yeah, there can be a lot of, hopefully, things that we can kind of look back on to help us as we really seek to build in this rhythm going forward and going into Lent, when we're really focusing there on cultivating our relationship with God. So this is kind of a build-in to that season. So
absolutely. Well, I'm so excited for it. Thank you, Dan, again, for your time today. Thank you all for listening. Again, excuse me, frog in my throat. We just wouldn't be here without you guys, and we're so grateful for opportunities to learn and talk and grow and challenge ourselves more. So go with peace, and we'll see you guys next time.